yourself the way you see it. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see it. Thank you.
Good morning, listeners. Y'all know what time it is. It is Sunday morning, 0900. It's the Jay Rice Show on WJNI 106.3. In the studios with me today is the Professor T-Bass. It's always a pleasure to have him here. And, you know, throughout the show you're going to hear from him. But it's a pleasure to have him in the studio with me. Good morning. Whether you're listening locally or you're listening around the world, it is Sunday morning. It's time that we do our thing. The Jay Rice Show is on. This is a call-in platform for you to engage in this conversation. You don't get to do that everywhere. You don't get to have the opportunity to listen to some conversation or dialogue and then chime in on it. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't always happen. So this is for you. This show is designed for you and mine to call in, be a part of it. I want to thank my sponsors, and you want to thank them as well. I got a new Facebook page where on every week I'm going to put their address and their information out there. So if you need to be in touch with them, you can go to my Facebook page, The Jay Rice Show, and every week those sponsors' address, website, Facebook will be there, will appear. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, The Family Seafood Market, VIP Bistro, and the new sponsor, The Checkmaster on Rivers Avenue. We're going to hear from her a little later on in the show, talking about how you can get your checks cashed and what you need to do when you go over there. But thank you all for being here this morning. It is always a pleasure to bring this information to you. Never forget on Saturdays at 1 p.m. to listen to The David Mack Show. David's been doing this a long time. I don't think he knows anything else to do but put out valuable information. So good follow-up for me, segue from David's show on Saturday from 1 to 2 to the Jay Rice Show Sunday morning. Y'all stay tuned. Right into WJNI 106.3, the Professor T-Bass will always guide us. We want to acknowledge Women's History Month. We want to make sure that we get that in. I say that on behalf of all my sponsors. We salute you, women. Women's History Month. Thank you. I don't know who invented it, who started it, but if it's out there, we're gonna honor you because you deserve it. Last week, I had a conversation about social and civics, and trade in school, and what did you remember about it, and why was it important? I had a couple callers told me earlier this week. In particular, one of my callers says, "You and Professor T-Bass talk too much. I didn't get a chance to call in, so it's on the table if you want to call in today and talk about it." Now, I can't say we're not going to talk a lot, but I will say that because it is a talk show. But I will say that it is on the table if you had something you wanted to share with the listening audience. I want to also tell you, be very careful who you listen to. Do not listen to our governor, nor those other governors that are relaxing the mask mandate. Don't listen to those guys. And if you think things are normal and you want to listen to them, I have three sponsors that you'll need their contact information to be in touch with them. If you think that Governor McMaster is leading you down the right road, those sponsors are, prepare to write their names down. Those sponsors that will help you by listening to Governor McMaster is F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Johnson and Hall Funeral Home, and Dorothy's Funeral Home. Go to my Facebook page. Their numbers are there. If you listen to Governor McMaster, you'll need their contact information. But you can tell them what you think. I mean, you're big enough to make your own decisions. Stimulus check. I think it's on its way soon. Some scaled-down version of it with some disclaimers associated with it. But it's amazing how taxpayers have to wait on a vote for relief. At least at a minimum, I think that we should be at least entitled to an annual cost of living increase. I think at a minimum. But, you know, it's amazing we got to wait for relief. And then I want to know this. And then I want you to listen, audience, to tell me if I'm right or wrong. I mean, I know you will. Republicans in the Senate said no to this bill, which makes the political divide even worse. Because we know without a doubt that had that been the previous president, they would have all been on board. They would have been signing and being in agreement with this. I mean, without a question. And I think I'm right. But if I'm wrong, 843-308-9564, I'm giving you the chance to call up and tell me that I'm wrong. So it creates this divide that really should not be there. It further divides us. And my question for you, the listening audience, if you're a Republican, should you decline the check just based on the way your party voted? Should you just say, well, I'm a Republican, I don't want that check? You know, my folks didn't vote for this. So should they decline the check? Let me make you aware of something that's happening. And you know me, I often talk about if it's happening here and all around the world, I'm talking about it. Make sure you are aware that, and I want your opinion about it. There's two states where there's some laws that's coming out of those states that are kind of unusual laws. In Kentucky, a Senate bill, 211, reads, any individual who accost, insult, taunt, or challenge a law enforcement officer with offensive words or make gestures would be considered a crime. Your thoughts? I know what you're thinking, but that's a law that's coming out of Kentucky, Senate Bill 211. You cannot no longer cuss a police officer. Or you cannot tell them, you cannot point at them. That's a gesture. That's a crime. That's going to be a crime in Kentucky. So when you're traveling, be sure when you get to a state like Kentucky, you know what the laws are. And that's what I'm going to do here on the Jay Wright Show. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to do the research for you. I'll bring it to you. New legislation gaining traction in Iowa, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Utah and a dozen other states have introduced a new counter-protest measures. This bill is coming out of those states. Pay attention now. Will grant criminals and civil will grant a criminal civil immunity to people who drive into crowds of protesters and under the premise that they feared for their life. Again, they're writing a law that says that it is okay to run over a protester now because you feared for your life. What direction are we going in? But I want to make sure you understand what those laws are and you look them up yourself for better understanding, for clarity. Okay. I got a call on the line. I'm going to jump right in and get on the call with this line. Get on the call with the call I got calling in. Good morning, sir. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, this is my nephew, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I set it up. JoJo, how old are you, JoJo? Tell the listening audience, how old are you?
10 years old.
10 years old. The 10-year-old is listening to the Jay Wright Show. But let me tell you a little bit about JoJo and why I had him call. I had a brother that died back in 1991, Edward Wolfie Wright. Everybody knew him as Wolfie. This is Wolfie's grandson. And this little kid, I love him dearly. So I'm highlighting him. I'm endorsing him. So that's why he's on my show today, because I love that brother. But more importantly, I love what he's doing and what he's had a chance to do. JoJo, please tell my listening audience where you just got through playing football at.
I just now got done playing in all the 10 Texans at the Cowboy Stadium for the All-American OD Bowl.
JoJo, that's a big deal, man. That's a big deal for Uncle Johnny to have the chance to have the audience know that you did that. Now, I like the Redskins, so I don't like Dallas. And the fact that you played in the stadium, I'm going to accept that because, you know, you're close to me. But at some point, we got to get you in the Redskins Stadium. And JoJo, you're getting ready to do something else. What are you getting ready to do soon?
Soon, I'm about to head to Nashville, Tennessee to play in the Tennessee Titans Stadium.
Outstanding, man. You are doing things that a lot of kids only wish they get a chance to do. And I think it's, I think it's important that my listening audience, I got millions of people listening, JoJo. They're hearing what you're doing, man. So we're all looking at JoJo to the future. JoJo, do you thank your mom and dad for their support?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, JoJo, man, I love you, and I know your granddad is watching, and if your granddad was living right now, I'm telling you right now, your story and what you're doing would be from McLennanville to Somerville from 9 by – he'll start in McLennanville at 9 by 5:30. Everybody from McLennanville to Somerville would know what you're doing. He was always a really proud brother, and I want to congratulate you, man, and your mom and dad, Jamal, you and Carrie, y'all doing a good job. Thank you, JoJo, man. Thank you for calling your uncle's show, and you keep on listening, all right?
Yes, sir.
And we wish you well when you go to Tennessee. I got to get out there and watch you. I got a little bit of skills, but, you know, I got bad knees, too. So you keep on doing your thing, JoJo, man. I'm proud of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all heard JoJo. It's amazing to see kids at 10 years old having that opportunity to get that exposure, you know, travel and, you know, do something that they enjoy. You know, it's always amazing. And we should celebrate that. And, of course, I'm very proud of them. So it's easy for me to have him on and bring him to you, the listening audience. And here in South Carolina, there's a new bill that they're looking at. They're looking at bringing back the firing squad. And as a means for the death penalty, right? Due to the fact that there's a lack of drugs, a lot of companies are not wanting to support and or make those drugs that they typically use for death penalty. And there's ongoing opposition to the electric chair, you know, saying it's humane. So they want to bring back the firing squad. What do you think about that? Now, our legislators here in South Carolina can't get a hate crime bill, but they want to bring back the firing squad. Now, if I'm a legislator, I'm on board with that under one condition, that Dylan Roof be the very first person that meets that firing squad. If we use Dylan Roof, because we can't get a hate crime bill, close the loophole, you know, as a result of his actions that night at Emmanuel 9, you guys know his name, because he's in Indiana chilling somewhere, waiting. Somewhere in Indiana, he's chilling. I want, if I'm a legislator, I'm down with that bill. I'm down with it. Maybe it'll make people, you know, consider their criminal activity. Just maybe if you watch a person get shot to death as a means of death penalty, just maybe it might curb your appetite for criminal activity, or at least to what level of criminal activity you may go, right? So it's just something to think about, but I do want to know, I want you to know that's a bill that's being considered here in South Carolina to bring back the firing squad. I would love to see Dylan Roof be the first recipient of that law. I think I personally, and I'm sure the other million of listeners would agree, I would call it justice. I would literally call that justice. So your thoughts. I like to hear what you think on this firing squad. You know, am I wrong? Should I be more sympathetic? Well, I'm not going to be, but I like the firing squad, and I like Dylan being the first recipient. I think it totally justifies the hate crime law. Maybe we don't even need one once we execute him by means of the firing squad. I want to thank some community partners for an event yesterday at East Cooper Medical Center. About 50 members of the African American settlement community received their first vaccination on yesterday. And it was a great collaboration of community partners. I can't even name them all, but being a part of doing good things, it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. And if you take the time to do good things, you will find that it'll be a pattern in your life, you know, where you'd repeat good activities or be involved in good things. So I do want to thank them for that happening on yesterday. I feel like, you know, those vaccinations were clearly a way to show our community that we're in need of vaccination. So get out there and get them. Got my guest on the line. I'm going to jump right in. I got an exciting guest on the show this morning for you and a story that embrace yourself, because this story is going to be one that you have or may not have ever heard, but you're about to become familiar with it. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Welcome to WJNI. You're on the Jay Rice Show 106.3. How are you this morning, ma'am?
I'm great. I'm glad to be alive.
Yes, ma'am. And on the line with me is Lynette Edie. Miss Edie, I want to thank you so very much for taking time out of what I know is a busy schedule for you to be on the show with us here in Charleston, South Carolina today. Now, where are you currently residing at?
I'm in actually Florence, Kentucky, which is in the Cincinnati area.
Okay. Good. And you know, just to kind of bring you home a little bit, so some of my listening audience that are alumni, you went to the University of South Carolina for a little while, correct?
That's where I graduated.
You graduated. Okay.
I received my bachelor's degree in business administration.
Okay. At the University of South Carolina, uniquely, the professor that's on the ones and twos and doing all the smart stuff, he went to the University of South Carolina as well. So let's talk about Lynette Edie and this amazing stories that you're telling through your book. What persuaded you to write the stories about your life and your experience? And let's talk about that.
Well, actually, the coronavirus got me started because I like to go a lot. I like to travel. And Corona had me in the house from December to October. And so I start journaling. When you have something in your life that you need to get out, sometimes it's good to write it out.
Certainly.
And as I was writing it out, I heard God's voice say, you need to share your story. And I kind of talked back, like, oh, don't nobody want to hear about me being raped from the age of 11 to 38.
Wow.
And I called the gentleman that took my virginity to see, why would you do that to an 11-year-old child? And as I thought about my story, I started getting a little angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing research. My research showed me that as we're talking right now, someone is being raped.
Wow.
Every 90 minutes, a woman is being raped. Or man. And so it's something that has been hush-hush.
Mm-hmm.
My book's about hush-hush issues. And I was told, that happened to you 55 years ago. Why would you talk about it now? And I'm here to let you know, if you're a victim of rape, it's not your fault. And you have to talk about it to get it out of your system. So I decided to take my journal and make it into a book.
Wow.
And actually, a lot of women have told me, and only me, that they were victims of rape. But society don't want to hear about it. I was told by several people, just be quiet. You live a good life. They don't know the jello that's within me, in my spirit, in my soul.
Mm.
So just to hear my story, I think it will help someone. Because they didn't steal my dream. I dreamt that I was going to write a book, which I did, and I was going to get my PhD, which I did.
Mm. Mm. Well, it's incredible because, you know, this, and I want to thank you again for being on with me and sharing this story. Because this woman is History Month. And I think, you know, this is, I think you're, as we spoke, and you're getting her to write your third book. And you're sharing experiences that are not always easy to discuss or to share your experience with other people. I think it's very important because you're right. There are these occurrences that are happening on a regular basis, daily basis. But you, it takes courage. It really takes a lot of courage to, whether it's 55 years later or 5 years later or 5 minutes later, to accept something that may have happened to you that where you may have been violated. Do you think that the topic is too strong?
I think it is for some people. And I think it is for some women. If someone out there listening right now that's been holding it for years and years, and I may not be accepted as like a minister, yet I am ordained, but I'm ordained in health. I hear God's voice, and I used to not obey it. I thought I was maybe something was wrong with me, but I heard God's voice say, help somebody. And I've had a couple of women say, the book helped me. You've been through all that and what I've been through, and I've never been able to tell anybody, never been able to tell my husband that the child he's raising is a product of rape. Because I was in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and I tried to run away from everything that was happening to me. I ran into the Air Force. I said, I have all these men to protect me. I didn't know I was going into a culture where it is just secondhand.
Wow.
I was told, you know, just be nice to him. You'll get a stripe. But I don't have to be nice to a man to get a stripe, because I was smart enough to take a test. But I was ridiculed because I wouldn't rub his stomach. Mm. So there's some things going on in the military then, that back in the 70s, and also now. That needs to be addressed. And I was told by one of the publishers, Lynette, that's old news. You should have came out with the Me Too. It's never old news if it's happening every day now.
Right.
How is that old news?
Right. And you know, Lynette, what's very unique about what you're saying, and as you share your stories, is that the men in power. Men that are in power, men that have power, this is a constant for them, and this is what they do. And you know, we don't. It seems like it's happening so often, and we're now hearing so many stories that it's almost like, okay, next story now, you know. And it doesn't get the attention that it truly deserves, because we're finding it to be so frequent. That it's almost becoming somewhat acceptable, and it's never acceptable, you know. So, I just think your content is strong for a purpose, and you mentioned that you're not a minister. Well, you are a minister, because you're a minister of information, and we come in different forms, and so you I really appreciate what you're doing. Do you really think somebody is being sexually assaulted at this very minute?
Yes, I do. I did my additional research last night, because my third book is going to be Portrait of a Rape 2.
Okay.
And I needed to go. The first book was about me, what happened to me as an 11-year-old walking down the street, to have all the boys in the I'm not going to say every boy, but it was a lot of boys in the neighborhood standing behind a dumpster waiting to penetrate a virgin.
Wow.
And I believe my friend set me up, because she asked me, was I a virgin? I said, yeah, of course. And to have a line of boys just standing there waiting on me was terrible. It was terrible.
And at what age was this again, ma'am, please?
11. I was 11. 11 years old. Mm. And some of the boys were a lot older. And I froze. So I didn't know anything about run and fight. I was 80 pounds, if that much, because I was always real skinny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they, I tried to run, they grabbed me, and then I tried to fight, they laughed at me. So I just stood there. Wow. And when I got up to 20, I just stopped counting. This is an 11-year-old child that they did this to.
Now, I spent 13 years there in Cincinnati. And what community did this happen in Cincinnati?
Walnut Hills.
In Walnut Hills? Really?
Right. And within months, I'm not for sure how many months, but they did it to me again. Mm. And it just was horrible. And I had to go into prayer, like, Lord, what? And what I heard in my spirit was, you have to live your testimony to feel it, because the only time I really got any relief is when I talked to another woman that was in the Navy that had some issues. Mm-hmm. And at least she could relate to the military part.
Right.
Counselors now, they've never been raped and they've never been in the military. And when I go over to the VA hospital, they look at me like, well, why didn't you? Because you don't know the culture of the military, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And you've never been raped. And to be raped is to be so helpless, to have your whole soul taken from you. And I've been doing research with men, and some men say, well, I didn't take anything from you. That's their attitude. You know, I didn't take your arm or your leg. I just took a little sex.
Mm.
But it devastates the victim for life.
You know, I tell you, Lynette, what's the value in having you on the Jay Rice Show here in Charleston, South Carolina on this Sunday morning, this gospel station, because this is a gospel station, and it has its own community. Along with the millions of listeners that listen every Sunday morning to the Jay Rice Show, there is somebody that's listening right now that relates to your story.
And oh, I know it is.
And that's why I knew it would be valuable to have you on. Now, Lynette, quickly, if you can, tell somebody how can they get in touch with you so that way they could share maybe a story with you and or purchase your books.
Okay. Thank you for that opportunity. I am looking for at least 5 to 10 women to tell me their story so I could put it in this book that I'm writing now. I would not use their name or anything, but, you know, tell their circumstances. And my telephone number, 513-908-1109. Again, 513-908-1109. And the book is on Amazon. If you put in Portrait of a Rape, the book comes up. And it's sold through Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and iUniverse. But I have my second book. And the reason I wrote Uncle Jerry, Pedophiles in Your House, because a lot of stories start with the people that come around you as you're a child. And they call it grooming.
Mm.
They may have you sit in their lap. My Uncle Jerry tickled me. Okay, you know, like he was playing around. Until one day he said, do you want the horse to come out the barn?
Mm.
And I'm four. Now I'm four then.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's the horse? I told my aunt about that. I noticed Uncle Jerry wasn't around anymore.
Yeah. I can see Uncle Jerry having problems, you know, after one like that. And you know, it pains me to listen to your story and to even, you know, as I read your book and I read, you know, it pains me because I'm a father and I'm a brother and, you know, I'm a husband as well. And, you know, when you think of those stories, I can't imagine with my military mind that happening to any one of those folks, because I don't know that I think I'd have to just throw my crazy card on the table, you know, but it is really, really, really a pleasure for the folks here in Charleston to have a chance to to listen to you here this morning on WJNI 106.3. And so there's an Uncle Jerry invited to into everyone's home daily, you believe, huh?
Oh, it is, because in certain homes, it's always a friend of the family somewhere around. And that friend is always smiling, and that friend is always helpful. And that friend said, oh, well, you could go to the store while I watch children. Mm. Or let me take her to the store. And in my book on Uncle Jerry, I do tell a story where my daughter used to live right behind an alley. She was going to the store. Her friend was going to the store. It was a car back there. And a man had a little girl in the car. And when asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking care of my business. Why don't you go ahead and take care of yours? So by the time the police came, he was gone. But I'm just saying, all that Uncle Jerry said was, oh, let me take her to the store, and took her to the alley. Mm. So we need to start watching our children and watching who's around, because here's an example. A young lady that's still sexually active, and I know I'm on a Christian radio station, but
this is good, because Christian radio and Christian community don't always have social and civics, you know. Yes, this is real good. Go ahead. Keep on, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, what happens is you're still sexually active, you have children, but you still want to have sex. You go out to a club and get drinking and drugs, find somebody, bring them home around your babies. One gentleman said he met someone, she took him home, and all the babies running around with no clothes on. He would have been in heaven if he had that on his mind. And in my research, I always thought a pedophile was just someone that had sex with a youth. If some men just want to look, some men just want to touch, put your baby in your lap. What's in your lap? Your child should not be in anyone's lap. I don't care if they your real Uncle Jerry or somebody visiting. Your children need not be in their lap. It's called grooming. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they get familiar with a touch.
Dr. Edie, I want to thank you so much. Can you again share your phone number so that those five people that may be listening that want to call you, 10 people that want to call you, they can reach out to you. Share that number again for me. And also, will there be a third book?
Yes. Okay, my number, 513. Is the area code 908-1109. Again, 513-908-1109.
Thank you, Dr. Lynette.
And it will be a third book, and it's going to be called The Portrait of a Rape 2, because I was several people said, Lynette, I really liked the book, but it wasn't enough. I want more. I'm like, what? But what I want to do is write short books under 100 pages and get to the core of a problem within our community.
Well, Dr. Lynette Edie, I want to thank you so much. And I think if you're trying to get to the core to create some conversation in our community, you're doing it. You're doing it by the strong content that's in your book. And I cannot thank you enough for being on the Jay Rice Show here in Charleston, South Carolina this morning. You have a good day, and I know we'll be in touch. Thank you for what you're doing and what you're sharing.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You guys heard from Dr. Lynette Edie. Her story is real. I mean, we can agree or disagree, but her story is real, and it's happening every day. Shameful, but it's happening every day, and not often, do we get a chance to share these kind of stories about, you know, authors that are writing these kind of books. But I think here on the Jay Rice Show, it's very important that I bring to you, these type of situations, because because they're happening. And there should be nothing that we should shy away from or not want to talk about, because it's not helpful. It's not helpful, and people are hurt by it. But the one way we can kind of get through it together is discuss it. So I really appreciate Dr. Lynette Eady. And you know, I want to make sure I share with you as well. Jury selection starts tomorrow in the George Floyd trial. This will be a global trial. This trial will be watched around the world. In fact, I believe this trial will bring January 6, 2021 into this trial. I think we're going to look at this trial, and then the outcome, whether it's peaceful protests or rioters, whatever happens, we're going to look at this trial, and we're going to draw comparisons to January 6, 2021, because we're going to be looking for equality and our selective enforcement. This is going to be unique. So pay attention, and because I know the world is paying attention. So Professor T. Bates, tell me, man, your thoughts on that on that guest, man, and anything I may have talked about. I really would like to hear your thoughts on the on Dylan Roof, man. I wouldn't mind the gun squad on him.
I think we'll start with the last content you had. The young lady who wrote the book told her story. Congratulate her for telling her story. And you know, if everyone who has been a victim, you know, let's just say today, everyone was going to have a yellow shirt on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just as we moved around, you know, went to the store, went to the restaurant, drove in your car, the yellow shirt. I think, and then add in people who have committed crimes against women, young children, even, you know, young males and women, you know. I think everyone would be floored with how many people had those, let's say, yellow and green shirts on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's definitely a lot of silence, and it's unfortunate. The devil is busy, as they say, because that thing that comes to tear your life up, well, when it happens to you and you're 4 and 5 and 8 and 11, if you never are able to reach to another level like she was, we can't even imagine the way it has changed someone's life.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Congratulations to her.
Yes.
And if you are out there listening and it's been hidden within you for a long time, maybe you won't write a book, but somehow reconcile for your own sake.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I just say it like that.
Absolutely. And you know what, I would even, I wish would happen. I mean, just kind of, you know, my thinking. And I like to hear from the callers what you thought about her story. 843-308-9564. I really would like to hear from you. And, you know, I'm hoping that some of the perpetrators would call her and share their story with her. I think that'll be valuable for one of them, mm-hmm. that has, you know, taking advantage, yeah. of somebody should now start being part of the dialogue. And I think it'll be a great way for real conversation to get some substance if she's talking to those that have committed the act themselves. And do they have enough courage to do that?
Well, we got to help them if they don't. And
right.
and that helps them. Hearing someone else out there who is now, you know, she said 27 years.
Wow.
From
a long
11
time, man.
From 11 to 38.
It's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's
a long time.
It's a long time.
I had a, and I'll share this and then I'll answer parts 1, 2, and 3. I had a, one morning I played a song from a local artist. I won't get into the artist and that thing. But a lady called and she said, "Why do you keep playing the song?" And at the time I didn't know what she meant. Didn't understand what I said, "Ma'am, what do you mean? You know, why do you, every time you play this song, And then I said, well, I don't know what you have to help me out. Because I said, for a long time, I was not on the gospel station. Mm-hmm. I came from the secular station. So I don't know every song that I'm playing. I'm still catching up to some of the older stuff. I know the newer stuff, and I have a great appreciation. But long story short, apparently, and this is, she sent me the information, the person that was the lead singer in this particular, on the song, well, they had committed a, you know, and I only say allegedly because I don't know if this thing is even finished. The person allegedly raped her son.
Wow.
So, and she sent me information. I said, well, ma'am, if you, I said, I, now that I know more, I won't play the song anymore.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm not going to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not gonna do a deed that's supporting someone who did what they did, and true to my word, I will never play the song again.
Right.
You know, the song is several years old, but it was a popular song, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. But I appreciated her for, once again, she was bold enough to call me up and have the dialogue.
Right.
But you know, if every time I play the song, it reminds her of what happened in her house,
yeah,
with her son, at the hands of another man, you know. So once again, we have in churches, in communities, in schools, that's a big problem that we just can't sweep it under the rug anymore.
Absolutely,
if we do.
Absolutely.
But you know, if everybody could just come out and share their testimony, the more people do it, it will make a difference. You know, that's the only way I can say it from the heart. It will make a difference. And you know, reach out to medical professionals, you know.
Absolutely.
People in the right. mental health mm-hmm. realm, because mm-hmm. a lot of times you can have an effect, something can affect you. It's just like PTSD. You know, folks don't think they're a victim until that flashpoint, and then, you know, oh my goodness, something else affects you.
Right.
Well, it's that PTSD, that something happened and you know, you've suppressed it. You're just trying to manage it.
Yeah, you know? And I can imagine the PTSD when someone calls. I can imagine how PTSD kicks in when I get a call or someone that I love comes in and tell me that they've been raped. I can imagine how PTSD would immediately kick in conveniently. You know what I mean? But I can see that. And I think that the firing squad, if we brought it back here in South Carolina and you knowingly rape somebody and you become a victim of that firing squad, I think that'll change the whole rape game. I you know, we're on a gospel station, but we got to have open and honest dialogue, because that's what we need today. We can't softball issues no more. We got to play hardball with them. And, you know.
The firing squad, since you brought that up.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to be such an advocate, but the conversation or the sort of the leverage point that you're making is that, well, if you're not going to pass a hate crime, then bring it back, because you know, Bible does say eye for an eye. There is, that is in the Bible.
Absolutely.
Eye for an eye, tooth for
absolutely
tooth. But I just think that they should find a there's got to be something else out there. If there's going to be a death penalty, and manufacturers won't make a specific medication
right
to put you to sleep or whatever it is,
right.
You know, like I see both sides, but I don't know if I'm gonna. I'll say it like this: the shooter, because you know they have 10 people, and only one of the bullets
right.
is the one.
Right.
You know
right.
That is it fair to the 9 or the 10 that shoot? Because they one of them killed somebody.
Well, I just want to be in on all of them.
Oh, Lord.
and And you know, again, man, I it's harsh to even consider that, but but you know, I mean, if it's possible.
Well, I'll say this, and then your next guess is on the line.
Okay.
Elected officials have to do better about doing the people's business. Mm-hmm. We have a fundamental problem that they get elected and they don't. Their ideas are not necessarily the people's ideas.
Absolutely, there you go.
But the people are the people who elected you.
That's right.
To carry out their ideas.
Absolutely.
My biggest problem with politics is that very thing. I didn't elect you to go and discuss all this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Handle this, that, and the other. You know, a big shout out. And I know you'll get to it. There was somewhat of a victory in the Phillips community.
Absolutely.
That's
I was
how
get to that.
The
yes,
people
sir.
Pressed, and there was a change made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how all politics should be. You know,
absolutely.
Civic, you know, the people. This hey, Mr. Tim Scott. This is what I want you to do.
Right.
Mr. So and so, and then it can't be. You know, this is we got to reform a lot.
Absolutely, and we got to hold them accountable, and we got to be careful who we send to represent us, because that's what you do ultimately by voting for them. They represent you. Let me jump right onto the call. Good morning, caller. Welcome, WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Is this the new councilwoman elect, Michelle Haywood Dunmeyer?
What timing?
Yes, it is, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, ma'am, for calling in this morning to the Jay Rice Show. I know you call because these millions of listeners, you want to thank us for whatever we did, whatever role we may have played and helping you get elected. I'm very thankful that you did get elected. And, you know, I know you got work to do, but we appreciate you. And more importantly, I want to thank you for calling up to the station, and I hope in the future we get a report from Hollywood.
Oh, definitely. I just want to thank you, the Jay Rice Show, for allowing me the opportunity to voice my platform on your show, because you was a vital instrument to my campaign, because you helped me get the word out to the citizens of Charleston and Hollywood as well. And I just want to thank you. Your show is just a wonderful show to be on. So I just want to thank you. And I just want you to know that being the new elected councilwoman of Hollywood, I will not let you down. And I will definitely come back on the show to give you a report. I'm going to go ahead and grade me. I'm going to tell you my report card when I return.
Hey, that now you know I'm big on report cards. So that would be good. And, you know, I don't know if I'm able to do this. I don't know if this is a violation of ethics, you know, but if you really appreciate me, Michelle, can you go to the new family seafood market and get me a dozen crab, pay for them, and then I can pick them up? Is that a violation of ethics?
Well, we're not going to do it under the campaign. I'm just going to give you a present. Thank you.
Michelle, thank you so much for calling up. Congratulations. I know you got work to do, and as you indicated, you're going to hit the ground immediately. So, Hollywood, you're better off. And thank you, Michelle, so much for calling up.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. And I pray that the Lord bless and continue to bless you with your show. So when I come back on, it's not going to be on the radio. I'm going to go ahead and claim it. I'm going to be on the Jay Wright talk show on TV.
Hey, well, listen, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much, new councilwoman. And take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You guys heard her. The millions of listeners are listening to the Jay Rice Show. She said we helped. And that's what this show was designed to be about, is to put people before you, get a chance to hear exactly what they have to offer us. Because as Professor Bass and I was just talking about, that we elect these people to represent us. So when we do that, then we got to be, you know, we got to hold them accountable. But at the same time, we have to be a part of the, I always call it the pit crew, the process improvement team, you know, where we're advising and we're bringing information to them. So we are on WJNI 106.3, the Jay Rice Show. We're the pit team. We're the process improvement team. So we're going to we're going to improve this process as time goes. And but you know, thank you so much, Councilwoman Michelle Elect. I mean, Councilwoman Elect Michelle Hayward Dunmire. Let me get it right, for calling up, and we really appreciate you. And the listeners, you know, we have recently, you know, I know if you can remember, I got another call online. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Mr. Jay Wright. This is Emily.
Good morning, my cousin Emily. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm well. You want to chime in on one of those topics that I got on the table?
Well, yes, two of them.
Yes, ma'am.
One is about the stimulus package.
Right.
That's the first one. The second one is about that animal that put his knee on Floyd's neck.
Right.
Okay. Okay. The first thing that I want to say is that the stimulus package, they're talking about $1,400. Now, is that a one-term? Because I'm not hearing that. Is that a one-term thing, or is it something that's going to go on until this virus ends?
Well, Emily, I'll be the first to tell you right now. It's $1,400 that's going to go to the Americans, and it's going to be a one-time deal. But Emily, I'm here to let you know right now. If you got grandkids that are 4 or 5 years old, we will never again in our life get another stimulus check. So you get this $1,400 as a taxpayer and appreciate it, because I just don't ever see this ever happening again in my lifetime. So. Now, you know, I think we should all be pushing our legislators for that annual cost of living increase that we should all be entitled to. Okay. I should all get. But No, this is a one-time deal, Em.
Right. Okay. And the other thing that I have to say about that guy, he should never see daylight. Okay. And someone should put their foot on his neck for a half hour.
That's right. You live by it, you die by it, and that's what they call?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Well,
that's an eye for an eye.
That's right, Em. Well, Em, I know you're going to be paying attention to that trial, and so you make sure you give me a call next week so we can talk about what you think. And you know, I think the world is watching, because there's going to be equality, and there's going to be selective how this thing will play out. So I think those two things are on the table, you know, because will it be equal? Will it be fair? Will it be selective? We're going to I think the world is watching this trial. Thank you, Em, for calling in.
So
appreciate you.
You're welcome.
And where are you calling
from? I'm calling from North Carolina.
All right, then. See, that's right. The extension of the Jay Wright Show is in North Carolina. Thank you so much, Em. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the day.
You're welcome. Right. Okay, you too. Have a great day.
Do
bye
same.
Bye.
The extension of the Jay Wright Show. We're touching millions. We're in North Carolina. We're in Virginia. We're talking about folks in Iowa that are coming up with some crazy laws. Pay attention to what's going on there in Iowa and in Missouri and Oklahoma and Utah. Because now they're telling people that you can run over a protester and say you feared for your life. That's ridiculous. I think that's setting a terrible precedent. But these are laws, and it's strange that these laws are now coming out under the new administration, when I think they would have easily been acceptable under the previous administration. But they're coming out, the laws in Tennessee, in Kentucky, with this whole the whole idea around not being able to even point a finger at a law enforcement officer or you know, tell them how you feel. That's going to be criminal. It's going to be a criminal act. And why are these laws now coming out versus when the last administration was at the helm? They would have been totally acceptable, I would assume. But I think, I personally believe that the laws that are coming out, they're coming out to challenge this current administration. I know some of them are state laws, but I think they're coming out to challenge the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. I think they're really coming out to somewhat, you know, challenge it. You know, there's something I want to make sure on this Saturday coming up on March 13th at 1800 Labor Camp Road. There'll be a it's going to be a let me get it right here. The Sons of Allen, Mount Pleasant District Sons of Allen, is having a grab and go. They're going to have chicken, ribs, fish dinners, March 13th starting at noon at 1800 Labor Camp Road. There'll be a drawing for a 65-inch TV giveaway. But you go out there and support them. The Sons of Allen, the Mount Pleasant District, grab and go. Chicken, ribs, and fish dinners. 1800 Labor Camp in the beautiful 4 Mile community, that beautiful settlement community that's land rich over there in Mount Pleasant. Go out and support them. I'll stop by and get me a free dinner. I got to be free. It's free for me. I know that's what you got. You guys got a free dinner.
It's a fundraiser, sir.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I believe it's a fundraiser.
Well, T-Base, listen, man. Professor T-Base, me and you.
So you're going to pay double.
Oh, no, me and you, we're talking about it, man. So we're going to get a free dinner. That's how we roll.
Well, no.
We can't do that?
No.
Okay, then. All right.
Now you're acting like a politician.
Oh, well, let me stop.
They go in the office, and then they don't do anything that, you know, they feel like you owe them something as opposed to, no, I'm so humble as a servant leader that you elected me. I want to work harder than ever.
Okay.
See, they have it flipped.
Okay, well, Terry, let me get that right.
You might have to now buy 3 meals.
Well, Terry, I'm going to get that right. I'm going to get that right, and I appreciate what you're saying. You're the professor, and, of course, I duly noted, but I am hoping that they do give me a free meal, at least one. You know. So, but anyway, you know, there was something that we talked about on this show a couple weeks ago, and that was the Housing Authority and downtown. Because, you know, they were registering the complaints about, you know, maintenance issues and mold and so on and so forth. But I knew all along, because I've seen it. I've seen it in Detroit. I've seen it in Ohio. I've seen it in Missouri. That when you start lodging those complaints and you're in the public housing authorities, especially in Charleston where we're evolving and gentrification is just absolutely going crazy, and you're looking around and you're seeing that. So now when you're lodging those complaints, just be prepared to know that the direct actions and the solution from those complaints may not be favorable to you. I've seen it one too many times. And to our local leaders that knows and are aware that these things are happening, let's get out in front of them. Let's not wait. Let's get out in front of them. Let's do some adopt programs. Let's adopt this project. Adopt this housing authority. And then let's go in and let's find the members that are within your body. And let's go in and do the little small repairs. Let's do the painting. Let's relieve the housing authorities of some of that duties, because it's a collaborative effort. It will take a collaborative effort. So I'm just saying, and moving forward, that's what we got to do. Caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. Good morning.
Yes, I'd just like to say I'm a first-time caller, and I truly enjoy the format and your knowledge of each subject that's been presented. This is your mother in Cincinnati.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm telling you right now, Mom, this is my mom calling from Cincinnati. This is my Cincinnati mom. I love you. I appreciate you calling. And this is the extension of the J-Rod arm. Yeah, my mom should be listening. And, of course, I know she's critiquing. So going forward, I got to now be very careful. I appreciate you calling. And it is always good to hear your voice. And I'm going to try my very best to make you proud.
You're doing an outstanding job. I am telling you now, you knew how long it took me to figure out how to get on here. But I was just so impressed. I thought, oh, my goodness,
okay,
this is just too much. But I know we're getting ready to get off the air.
Yes.
The gentleman said. Once again, you're doing your thing, my son.
Thank you. I'm loving it. Thank you very much, okay. Ma. I appreciate you listening. That's my Cincinnati mom. My sponsors, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have this opportunity to bring this information to you. Askey Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, VIP Bistro, The New Checkmaster. Go to my J Jay Rice Show Facebook page, and all their address and phone numbers are listed there. Support them because they support me, and I support you, and this show was designed for you and mine. Thank you. Peace.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way